Welcome to Tori Mecha Nafyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Vav, Chapter 26. Perek Kaf Hei, our last perek, began our section of Nevuah La'amim, Prophecies to the Nations, which was actually part of the Perkei Nechama of Yecheskel, actually part of his consolation. All of your mortal enemies, Ammon, Moab, Edom, Plishtim, who are so happy at your downfall, they themselves will be punished. Perek 26 begins a nevuah that will span three prakim against Tsur and Sidon, two connected countries who are towards the north of Israel on the coast of Lebanon. It is surprising that the four countries with whom Israel was always at war take up one perek altogether, while Tsur, who had relatively good relations with Israel, has three prakim prophesied against it. Tsur is the country of Hiram, who supplied Shlomo with wood for the Beit HaMikdash and who had a strong alliance with him. Also, we know that Ahab, the king of Israel, married Izebel bat et Baal melech Sidon, Izebel the daughter of et Baal, who is the king of Sidon. Both instances show that Tsur and Sidon, who themselves only became separate countries when they were separated by Sanchir, the king of Assyria, these countries were on good terms with Israel, and Yecheskel really groups them together as one country. The sin of Tsur, at first glance, seems very similar to the sin of the four countries in Perek 25. They were happy about the downfall of Israel. Yecheskel says, It was on the 11th year, in the first of the month, Hashem's word came to me, saying, Ben Adam, Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Son of man, Yan asha amrat Tsur al Yishalayim ha'ach, because Tsur said about Yishalayim, ah! Meaning like, this is great. I'm so happy. Nishbara dulatot ha'amim. Nasoba elai imalea charava. The gate of the people of the nations is broken, and now it will come to me, and I will be able to fill myself from its destruction. First of all, just notice the date. It's the 11th year. This is the 11th year of Galut Yehoyachin, also the 11th year of Sitkio, and this is the actual year of the Chorban. The previous parak was not dated, but seemingly it happened around the time of the Chorban as well, or perhaps after. Tsur's sin, while seemingly the same of that as Ammon and Moab, who express glee at the Chorban, is actually different. Ammon and Moab and the Plishim and Edom are constant enemies of Yisrael and Yehuda in Tanakh. Tsur is a friend. Rav Beni Lau and Rav Amnon Bazak point out that the joy of Tsur is not about the fact that an enemy fell, but rather about the economic opportunity that the fall of Yehuda offers them. Rashi explains that they started their joy even before the downfall of Yerushalayim, during the siege. They called Yehuda Dalatot Ha'amim, the gateway of the people, with Rachi translates as Ir Shakol Ha'umot Hayu Nechnasin La L'schora. It was the city that all the nations would come to trade in it. It's a cosmopolitan city. Perhaps because of its unique placement on the trade routes of the ancient Near East, Israel, and then to a lesser extent, Yehuda, was a center of trade. And then once Israel was destroyed, Yehuda also took a little bit more of that role. But now that it was besieged, Soba Elai, the business will come to me. Tsur was an island nation that was heavily protected by its natural topography. The strength of its isolation made it feel invincible. This invincibility made Tsur feel that they were not going to be subject to the same thing that happened to their former ally, Yehuda. So Hashem says to Tsur in Pasukim, Alachin ko amar Hashem Elokim, hineni aleich, Tsur. I am against you, Tsur. Ve'aleiti aleich kayim rabim ka'alot hayam legalav. I'm going to bring many nations against you, the way the sea has its waves come up. And then in Pasuk Hey, mishtach charamim tiyeh v'toch hayam. You're going to be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. Ki ani dibarti, for I have spoken, Hashem Elokim, says Hashem. Ve'aita levaz l'goyim, you're going to become a spoil, like a bounty, a loot for the other nations to take. Miriam Blumenthal points out the water imagery that's used to describe the downfall of Tsur, who depended on its waters to protect it. The nations will come to you like waves. And Rashi explains that when it says that you become a place of spreading nets, it's describing how fishermen would spread out their nets on rocks to dry them off. Tsur will be so desolate and empty that it will be a good place for drying nets. Again, taking this water imagery, but turning it against Tsur. You think you're so strong because you're an island and you're protected by your waters. You're not strong at all. I'm going to capture you with those same waters. Psukim Zayin through Yedalet 7-14, Yechezkel discusses how Nebuchadnezzar is going to besiege them, run his horses down their streets, kill their people, and take their spoils. Psukim 15-18 discuss how the leaders of the other island nations will be shocked and terrified at the downfall of Tzur. They will say in Pasuk Zayin, V'nasu elech kina. They're actually going to write a lamentation about the downfall of Tzor, Amrulach. They'll say, Echavadet noshevet mi'amim. How is it possible that you were destroyed, this island that lived amongst the sea? Hahulala shahaita chazaka bayam. This amazing city that was so strong amongst the sea. He and all of the people that live there, that they were able to have their terror over anyone who lived there. Tzor was so much stronger than all these other little islands, and they terrorized them. They were the king, basically, amongst all the other kings. And how is it possible that Tzor fell? That's how great the desolation of Tzor will be. And the last section talks about the complete destruction of Tzor, again, using this water imagery. Pasuk Yitet, Kiko Amar Shem Elokim, B'titi Otach Ish Ir Nechrevet. When I make you this desolate city, Asher Ka'arim Asher Lo Noshavu, like the other cities that are not inhabited, B'halot Aleich Tahom, B'kisuch HaMayim Rabim, I'm actually going to bring the Tahom, if you... remember from Parshat Bereishit, is the deep waters. I'm going to bring the deep on you. You won't be floating over the water. The waters will submerge you. V'kisucha hamayim harabim, and all the great waters shall cover you. V'horidaticha el yor debor, in Pasukaf, says Yechezkel, I'm going to bring you down, all the way down into the pits, all the way far, far down into the deep. El am olam, to the people of old times. It's almost like a grave. Oshavticha ve'artz tachtiyot. You're going to dwell in the lower parts of the earth. Kecharavot me'olam. And you're going to be destroyed forever. At your day bor, you're going to go down to these pits. Laman lo tishavi. You'll never be able to live there again. Ve'natatzi tzvi be'artz chayim. And I will set the glory in the land of the living. So these psukim use this idea of bringing down this hubris, this ga'ava of Tzor through its own water, which is what gave it strength. There's two more prakim about the downfall of Tzor and Sidon, and we'll discuss a little bit more about what ended up happening to them. However, I'd like to suggest here that maybe one of the reasons that Tzor has three prakim detailing its downfall, while in the last parak, we dedicated only a few psukim to each of the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. And maybe the reason, or part of the reason, is something that comes up in Sefer Amos, in his discussion of the downfall of Tzor, which comes up in Parak Aleph Pasuk Tet. And Amos says, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Shosha Pish'ei Tzor, Va'al Arba'al Lo Ashivenu. This is Amos' language for the three sins of Tzor, okay, but the fourth I can't forgive. And what is that fourth sin? Al hasigiram galut shleima le'edom, v'lo zachru brit achim, because they delivered the whole community to Edom, and they didn't remember the covenant between brothers. When the Jews of Yisrael were running away, Tzor captured them and handed them over to their feared enemy Edom instead of protecting them. What makes Tzor's actions so bad is lo zachru brit achim. They don't remember the covenant between brothers. The Mefarshim on Amos argue whether the Brit Achim was actually between Bnei Israel and Edom in that pasuk, or Bnei Israel and Tzor. Most assume that it's talking about Bnei Israel and Tzor. And if that's the case, then that fits in so well to Sefer Yechezkel. There's an emphasis in Sefer Yechezkel about keeping a Brit, about honoring a covenant and not going back on it. Even in Parak 17, Yud Zayin, Hashem takes Tzidkiyahu to task for breaking his Brit with Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, the most important and fundamental brit is the brit with Hashem. When Tzor rejoiced at the downfall of Yehuda, they weren't the same as Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Plishtim, who had always hated the Jews. They once had a brit achim, a covenant between brothers, and over time they had a good relationship. However, they were willing to give it up in a moment for the economic opportunity that the degradation of Yehuda presented to them. This, to Yechezkel, is worse than the others. The nations in the parak before were always enemies. Tzor is just an opportunist who's willing to break a brit for money an allegory for Bnei Israel who prostituted themselves to other nations and other gods in order to get ahead in the world and didn't remember their brit with Hashem. So to recap, this second parak of Nevuat HaAmim deals with the downfall of the island nation of Tzur, who rejoiced at Bnei Israel's defeat. Using sea imagery, Yechezkel prophesies their eventual capture and drowning as well. Thank you for learning together Le'ilo Nishmas Barbara Atlas Brachavas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.